I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
So I went out to a party, and I'm not a big social party kind of guy, but it was a good buddy of mine. She was turning 50, and so Lisa and I went down there. I go begrudgingly, and then here's my thing. I whine and bitch about it. I don't want to go, and then I 100% of times have glad I went. It's like exercise for me. But it's like, she goes, can we just, and then I go, that was fun. Anyway, so it was fun. They had single malt scotch there, which is pretty classy joint. Laphroaig 10, not my favorite, but pretty damn good, actually. I'm going to rephrase that. I actually like it now. Used to hate it. Now I like it. Who knew? It's the pumpkin pie of scotches. I got an espresso that is absolutely exquisite right now. You guys are going to be, you should be jealous. So I'm standing at this party. I'm talking to Lisa. That's what usually we do. We go to a party, and then it's just Lisa and I in a corner talking. And then another friend of ours came up. So we're chatting. We're doing the chat. And out of the corner of my eye, I see a guy that I know, and he knows me, but kind of just cursorily. I've never socialized with him. Our kids used to hang out when they were like 4. And so we would drop off, kind of pick. If I've said 10 words to this guy in my life, I would be surprised. I mean, literally, it would be a wave in the car that at best. I didn't even know for sure that he would recognize me. I just figured, you know, it's been a while. So I see him out of the corner of my eye. And at some point, our eyes meet. That's going to sound romantic, but this is not where this is going. But our eyes meet, and he gets this big smile on his face. I got a sense right away that he had knocked back a few. Okay, so I just... You kind of know, like, you know, a good melon, like that kind of. And so our eyes lock, and so he approaches, and I then turn and approach him. And all he does is he goes, and this is a direct quote, you guys, and this may be why I had a very, very great night. He approached me, and again, don't know if he knows me, puts his hand on my stomach and goes, quote, "Dude, Sid, you are keeping your shit so tight, bro." End quote. And then I said, good to see you. And he went off. And that was our interlude. That was the thing. "Dude, Sid, you are keeping your shit so tight, bro." And I'm not going to disagree with the guy. I do keep my shit tight. I'm just saying that it was not what I expected to come out of his mouth. And it was what I expected would be more like a, "You're Sid, right?" And instead I got that, which was so much better than "You're Sid, right?" Like, so much better. And so I thought I would share that with you, because that's one of the best things that's ever happened to me at a party, period. And I'm 50. I've been to some parties in my time, but nobody ever approaches, puts their hand on my stomach and says, "Dude, Sid, you're keeping your shit so tight, bro." Okay? All right. With that lesson learned, you guys, that one was for free. As is the rest of this podcast. Washington Post put out an article about a teen who went blind. Not for the reason that most teens go blind. I'm not going to go there. I'm just saying that's definitely science, but this is different science. Okay, so this is the title of this article. Teen goes, quote, blind, end quote. I don't know why they did that. From 7-year diet of, ready, wait for it, French fries, white bread, ham slices. And later they talk about sausage, because, you know, you don't want the title to be unwieldy. And also Pringles, by the way, which are, phenomenal Pringles, right? Okay. They're shaped like chips. They're not chips, but they're shaped like, I mean, it's the whole thing. It's so awesome. The article talks about poor nutrition, effects of poor nutrition on everything. Big surprise, cracking, you know, way to break the story, Washington Post, that bad nutrition has an effect on health. What? Anyway, so he started talking about tiredness, and then anyway, so it turns out, I'm not gonna belabor the whole article, but he was severely deficient, and one of the things he was deficient in was, by the way, B12. So anyway, he started going blind, and they've seen lots of things go happen, but not usually this kind of thing. They call it nutritional optic neuropathy. And yeah, and anyway, he's got some, it's sad, actually. He's a 14-year-old, and so more on this issue in this episode. However, one of the quotes is, "Nutritional optic neuropathy, researchers worry, may become more prevalent because of mass consumption of junk food and the, quote, rising popularity of veganism, end quote, that isn't regularly supplemented with B12. Had to get the dig in, didn't you? Had to get the why do you got to knock the vegans? The whole article was on ham, sausage, French fries, and white bread. Two of those things being non-vegan, two are, but they're all junk. Can we agree with that? And then you got to knock the vegan. The kid's blind. He's not vegan. He's a non-vegan blind guy because of nutritional deficiencies. So can we just say researchers worry that this is going to become more prevalent with the mass consumption of junk food? Vegan or not is what you would maybe say on that. Because it's not just the B12 that this kid is freaking unhealthy or that kids are unhealthy, for the love of God. Why knock the vegan? Breaking news, the war in Afghanistan is going to be delayed for another 3 years. It's been the longest war in history. But you know what? What about the stupid vegans? How about that? Those guys are stupid. Can I say again that the vegan diet is not inherently deficient in B12? And before you start getting all up in arms about that, I'm a nutritionist, so I kind of do know a little bit of what I'm freaking talking about. If veganism were deficient in B12, every vegan animal would be deficient in B12. The reason why the human being's diet, plant-based, is deficient is because we wash our produce of the soil microorganisms within which B12 exists and is produced from those things in our guts. That's why. But this kid was B12 deficient and eating meat from animals that were vegan that weren't B12 deficient because they have B12 in their flesh. So do we. And would we also if we ate dirty things? So let's just get past the crap. And if you wash your produce, which I do too, because it's ridiculous. I don't know who touched my damn produce. But if you wash it, take a little thing under your tongue, a little B12 supplement for crying out loud. And then we can stop talking about it. And let's actually address why this kid went blind, which had nothing really that substantial to do. B12 was part of that picture. But all in all, our kids are dying because a very nutritional deficient, very high protein. What? Yes. Diet. It's nuts. Nuts. Okay? Nuts. And not nuts, actually, because he wasn't even eating nuts. I was a guest on a podcast, got an email from a guy in Germany, Berlin. Hardy Haberlin is the guy's name. I'll link to it. Good episode. Good 2 hour and 47 minute or something ridiculous. A marathon. And I was there all day. And so he invited me on his podcast. And so I got on there and it was good. We had a good conversation about all sorts of things. He just went all over the map, right? 2 hours and 47, as I said. However, so we opened the Skype, and I've done lots and lots of interviews, and obviously with my own podcast, interview people, and sometimes most of the time I would use Skype, and I would turn off the video part of Skype because it takes up a lot of bandwidth and it can make the audio kind of screwed up. He turned the video on. I said, sometimes I would turn it on just to say hi, and then we would, shut your cameras down, let's do the interview. So we did that. He turned the camera on. I said, okay, so we're going to turn cameras off. He goes, no, I want to keep the cameras on. I was like, I hope my internet's good enough. And so I thought, well, that's kind of cool because we can see each other during the interview. What I didn't know is that he was going to post the video. So he did the podcast, but then there's also a video on YouTube of me and him having this discussion. I'm not dressed for a podcast. I'm dressed, it's pajama. I think I was actually wearing pajama bottoms. This was Saturday morning at 9. I went down with a cup of coffee and, by the way, and some toast, my Saturday morning ritual, a little toast with peanut butter and one with almond butter. And I'm kind of eating this thinking I can sort of steal bites while he's talking, but then on video, I don't really want that to happen, even though I didn't know he was posting the video. I got my toast and I'm watching the toast. 2 hours and 47 minutes I watched that damn toast. I didn't know he was posting the video. Wearing like a torn thermal top. Like it's like threadbare. That's me, threadbare. I didn't know. A little bit of, you know, hey, by the way, we're going to be using this video. Well, let me go back and get a decent shirt on so I don't look like I just freaking woke up. And I'm longing for the toast that's just out of my reach. Mm. It is Monday morning. I'm going in late today. I am on day 6-7 of a 36-day work stretch without a day off. So today I was like, you know what? I worked all weekend. Going in late today. Into the podcast Monday morning. Have an espresso with my wife. That's how I roll. If you haven't gone to Vimeo yet, go to Vimeo yet. They'll link to the channel. I actually did a wrong channel. I'm new to Vimeo too. I actually have an actual channel that's like got my logo and stuff. If you haven't subscribed to that one, I'll put a link to the actual video channel in this episode. And then you can click on it and it'll actually take you to the real one. So please subscribe. So I have Anyway, do it, okay? And I'll have another newsletter out this week. If you haven't subscribed to my mailing list, do that. I'm really excited about the newsletters. I feel like I'm finally kind of hit my stride. I'm basically blogging again, which I had stopped. So I'm doing blogging and video and the podcast. And it's kind of this trifecta of getting my work out there in different forms. And I'm kind of digging it. And the Small Steps group, by the way, which is, there's no sell here because it's rolling. It's in week three, but it's the first group launch. I'm kicking myself that I didn't do this when I launched the damn thing. I should have just made it, you know, two group launch dates per year. And just because everybody's in the same boat, like we had a live Q&A, everybody's in week two, and it works really, really well. If you've done it before, it was fine. It's all fine. This is just even better. Okay? It's like you didn't miss anything. It's just a little more social because everybody's in the same boat. It's a little less individual. And I got the private chat room and all that stuff. So if you're interested in that, I will launch another start date probably around the beginning of February. But more on that later, and in the newsletter, I'll announce those kinds of things. And lastly, really quick, thanks to everybody who Patreons me. You Patreoners are awesome, and thank you for doing that. And if you would just give me like a lot more, then I wouldn't have to work 36 days straight. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I would do more podcasting and videos and blogging if I didn't have to work 36 days. So that's all I'm saying. That's a fact. Hey, Weight Watchers. I made fun of Weight Watchers in my, you thought that this was a sponsorship ad? Yeah, I am sponsored by Weight Watchers. Wouldn't that be hilarious? I made fun of Weight Watchers in my first book, but also gave them props for the social part of it. But now that ship's left the harbor, they're just all nutty nut nut. The points, you gotta read, look at points. It's thinking too much. You guys know where I stand on that. I'm not saying that. But this is next level now, because guess what they have now? They have a Weight Watcher for kids, a Weight Watchers app for kids called Curbo or some bullshit. It makes me sad when it comes to kids. And you know, I wrote a book on families because kids are very important to me. So I want the parents to be strong and happy and at a good place so that they can bring their kids up the way they want to and in a good, positive way. This Weight Watchers app for kids is I can't tell you how much I'm against this thing. Okay, now there are people, experts weigh in, and they don't do this much. It's the wrong conversation. I've been saying this from the beginning. Weight, for adults too, by the way, but especially for kids, is the wrong conversation. Do not talk about weight with yourself because it's not what it's about. Do not talk about weight with your children because it's not what it's freaking about. It is about health or not. Weight loss is easy. I can put you on a very unhealthy keto diet, not to be redundant, because it is unhealthy. I can put you on lots of different diets and you would lose weight. You wouldn't keep it off, but that's another story. But it's not about weight. What you really want is to feel good. You don't want to be at a healthy, so-called healthy weight on a scale, but not feel good and not be healthy. Just because people are thin does not mean they're healthy. Okay? People have naturally ability to maintain a healthier thing. I've known people who are, you know, cut. Rarely eat whatever they want, but they're on cholesterol medication. Why? Because their bodies work exactly the same as ours. Okay, it's just they don't have the ability to do its job when you're starving it of nutrition, like that teenager who went blind. Is it sort of funny every time I say the teenager who went blind? Yes, it's a little bit funny every time I say the teenager went blind, because 100% of you had the same exact thought that I did, and we're all in this together, and I think that's okay that we acknowledge that. But back to the monstrosity of a Weight Watchers app for kids. The conversation should never be with your kids. Do not say, let's talk about your weight. Let's say, let's all get healthy together. That's a much more positive, as a family, let's all try to eat healthier. Let's all try to take care of ourselves. Take care of ourselves. Let's treat ourselves better. You talk about weight loss, then you get into the restriction thing, then you get into the shame thing. More on that in a second. Bill Maher, you bastard. This is not about that. It's about teaching children healthy habits. And more importantly than that, it's about parents being strong enough to pull that off. So here we go. Let's bypass yet again parental responsibility and just hand the app to the kids and let them fend for themselves with not yet developed brains and with marketing and advertising and vaping and everything else that these kids are dealing with. Let's be less of parents in this, because we don't want to get into a conflict with our kids about anything. So we sort of want to let them, we want to quote unquote empower them to make their own decisions about food. Oh, that's rich. How about empower your kids to make their decisions about vape when they come in bubble gum flavor and when all their kids, friends at school, are urging them to vape? how about you just empower them to make their decision about that. And when they start vaping, definitely empower them to stop, because it's super easy to stop a nicotine addiction. I think we can all agree on that. So empower them to make that decision as well. I think it's a really, really good move as a parent to just give that over to your kids and let them deal with it. Thanks, Weight Watchers. I don't even have to deal with this now. This is so cool. A heavy, unhealthy child is the parent's fault. Sorry, but it's the parent's fault. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not saying these parents are bad parents. I'm not saying they have bad intentions. I'm saying they need support and help in their lives so that they can parent their kids better, because it's not the child's fault. When the kid is an adult, you could make the argument that for a while it's not even their fault because of how they were raised, but eventually it becomes our fault as an adult. We can't blame our parents for everything that happened when we were 15. We can say, I acknowledge and understand the habits that I grew up with and the behaviors that I've got to overcome, and I want to be able to establish new behaviors, and I need help in doing that, and that's my job. But that's a different thing. With your kids, it is the parents, your parents' fault. It's the parents' fault when a child is unhealthy. I don't know else. I don't know how else to say it, and I don't want to sugarcoat it. I think we should just acknowledge that we are trying to be the best parents we can. So this is not me saying you're a bad parent, you suck. It's saying acknowledge that it's your fault. Acknowledge where the accountability and responsibility lies. Then you can do something about it, rather than go, hey, let me help you download the Weight Watchers app, and then you deal with your own weight loss and look at green light foods and yellow light foods and have your kid get super, super focused on food, because that never ends badly. It never ends badly for somebody as a teenager to get hyper-focused on food. There's no way that's going to turn out bad. Okay? They may need help, these kids. They're going to need help. But the responsibility is not to the child. Sorry. It's to the parents. And there's a discomfort around that conversation with your kids. I get it. I've had it. I understand. We don't want to get into it, but we do. We signed on to that when we had a kid. We signed on to the responsibility and accountability to teach them right from wrong, to teach them how to treat themselves well, to teach them how to take care of themselves so that we can't be, when we were not with them, they can do it themselves eventually. That's not that complicated. This ain't brain surgery, okay? Weight Watchers kid for kids app. Shame on you, Weight Watchers. Yeah, I know you make millions. I know you make billions, and I'm driving a 2012 Ford Focus. So you won this round. I got it. So I'm watching Bill Maher, which I'll do on time to time. And I don't agree with everything the guy says, but he's funny, and he's will definitely like take people on in a way that I appreciate. But he dove into the healthcare weight thing, and he dove in fairly strongly, which he'll do. I can't remember which. It was last week's episode, which means nothing when you're listening to this episode. But whatever, look it up. There was a feminist named. And ill prepared for this. You know what? Maybe I'll link to the video or whatever. He talks about healthcare and he says, look, the responsibility, we can talk about healthcare all we want, but the responsibility is that Americans are fat and we're eating too much. And okay, I know where he's going. Like, we need to take responsibility for our own health and we can't rely on a healthcare system. Totally agree. But then he gets into this idea of shame and that in a way, we two things, people should feel shame, and that it's okay to kind of shame people in an effort to make this change. And that's where Billy Boy lost me. And Billy, let me tell you something, because I know you listen to this podcast, so does Taylor Swift. I got a few celebs who definitely tune into what Sid thinks. I know that. Billy, leave the discussion of health and healthcare and nutrition. Leave it to the people who know what they're talking about. Okay, I know you got strong opinions on these things, but leave it to the people who know what we're talking about. Okay, let us take this off your plate. Okay, friend, and then you can get into the politics and all the things that you do really, really well. But to just say very simply, yes, we have high healthcare costs and it's because everyone's fat and you guys need to not be eating so much is a little simplistic, and you should be shamed for doing that is also downright wrong. And I got a bone to pick with old Billy Maher. He's not going to ask me to come on a show now. I think he had an email crafted and now he's going to pull it. He's going to delete it. He's not going to send it. Sid, would you please come on my show? Delete. That's a bummer. That would have been fun. You guys would have liked to see me on Bill Maher, huh? I would have had a good time talking about stuff. I do not think shame is a good solution. I do not think feeling shame is a good solution. I think feeling shame and feeling guilt are the very things that lead us down to the road of the acceptable drug, which is junk food. I think the pressure of life, the stress of life, is what leads us down the road of the acceptable drug, which is junk food. And when we gain weight and do this, guess what happens? We feel more shame and more guilt. Look, we all feel plenty of shame and guilt already, Bill. Thanks, but we don't need somebody else now shaming us in addition to the shame we already feel. Okay? Nobody feels good being overweight. You can talk about accept your body how you want and all this kind of thing. I think it's a load of shit. I think it's to do the best you can, which is to accept where you are in the process. Of course. But at the same time, I think it's healthy to say, I'm not happy where I am right now. I'm not a bad person. I got struggles. I do too. Everybody does. We got struggles. So I'm not saying, but when you sort of say, I'm happy with the way I am right now, it lowers the bar when you, and by the way, I'll put it this way. If you truly, truly are, then fine. But most people are not. Most people are not. And to try to convince them that they think they're beautiful when they don't think they're beautiful. And believe me, I understand this isn't about beauty. This is about, for me, it's about health. It's about vibrancy and energy. So let's say they're not as energetic and don't have as much vibrancy as they want to have. It's not that they can't accept themselves who they are. If they're working for that, I think it's freaking up courageous and amazing. And they're on their path. And I think you should ideally work to accept yourself and the struggle and how difficult it is and your own strength that's there and appreciate the fact that you're doing what you can and that your body is doing the best it can to maintain the best health it can and that you're trying to make its job easier along the way. And I think that's an amazing thing. I don't think shame has any place in that discussion at all. I don't think it has any place in that discussion at all. I think intelligence has a place in that discussion. I think information has a place in that discussion. I think being aware has a place in that discussion to say, listen, I'm not as healthy as I want to be. Say it. You're not a bad person. If you're not as healthy as you want to be, acknowledge it. Get some freaking courage and say, I'm not as healthy as I want to be. I'm not a bad person. I'm going to do something about it. So I'm freaking actually an ass kicker. And I'm going to start that process of however I do it, of treating myself better. That's all. So on one level, economically, I understand what Bill Maher is saying. And you know, one of the estimates was like a 70 to 80% drop in healthcare costs if we ate better. Like if we went to a whole plant-based diet, we wouldn't need healthcare as much and our costs would go down. That's absolutely true. I believe it and have read it and I know that that's absolutely true. The better we eat, then our teens don't go blind for the love of God. So yes, valid. How we get there, that's where I break. How we get there is where I break because shame, again, has no place. When you understand the difficulty of a world where food is subsidized and advertised in a way that makes it very addictive and very difficult to wade through that crazy jungle of advertising, you have to have empathy for people that are not as healthy as they want to be. It is not as simple as saying, hey, you know what? Freaking eat better. Don't complain about healthcare. Eat better. It's simplistic and unintelligent. It's simplistic and unintelligent. The solution to taking care of ourselves better would be education, removing industry from our food system and from the USDA. Yes, read it. It's not a lie, not a conspiracy theorist. Removing subsidies from unhealthy food, removing advertising in the way that they do with cigarettes to not do that for junk food. But they don't do that. They don't do that. So then to say, hey, given all that addictive stuff and all the stress of living in the world, hey, you should just eat better is absolutely stupid. So I'm fine having a discussion about healthcare. Let's talk about healthcare. Let's talk about universal coverage. Let's talk about private, keeping your private, but then also government. So let's have all that discussion. But let's also talk about what the bigger picture is and the bigger piece of the healthcare picture. The bigger piece of this picture is not universal healthcare. It is universal self-care.
Always end. myself. Gambling with all of this, gambling with everyone, everything. But I'm not a gambling man. But I'm not a gambling man. Well, that gentleman I see, he is clearly at peace. It's because he knows he can say goodbye. So what is put forth to me is I should be able to say goodbye. All of a sudden I am waving goodbye, waving at you, waving to be true. But I'm not a wave goodbye man. But I'm not a wave goodbye man. Wave goodbye, man.
An instinct-driven man.